well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. We welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or across America at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us our good friend John McTernan. John, thanks so much for being with us today.
Stan, I'm glad to be on your show again.
All right, fine. And, of course, John has written several books, God's Final Warning, and then, of course, Israel, Blessing or Curse. And why don't you simply go into the background of why you wrote these books and what the message is and why it's so important, especially at these times as we are moving into a war in the Middle East, a totally engineered war. After all, Saddam Hussein's a bad guy, but then so is Mugabe and Rhodesia, who we put into position. Certainly are the communist leaders are bad guys. We've got bad guys running Iran and Saudi Arabia and Syria. And yet, of course, we seem to be intent upon going to war with Iraq, and they've convinced the American people of that because of the attack on the World Trade Center. What the linkage is between going to war with Saddam Hussein and the fact that 15 citizens of Saudi Arabia flew in their planes into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, I'm not quite certain. Well, it had to do with Islamic terrorism, but certainly Saddam Hussein is not an Islamic terrorist. In fact, he runs a secular country. So why are we going to war? Well, maybe there are other forces that are moving us there. Maybe there are spiritual forces, and what we're seeing is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Why don't you bring up that, or take it from there, John?
Well, Stan, I have two books, God's Final Warning to America and Israel, the Blessing and the Curse. And if you look at both books together, what I found is every hurricane since 1989, major floods, these tremendous tornado outbreaks, earthquakes 6.0 or greater on the Richter scale, are all falling on days like Gay Pride Day, Supreme Court decisions about abortion, homosexual marches on Washington, pro-abortion marches on state on big cities like San Francisco, for example, and the earthquake during the World Series game there in 1989. There's a tie there, and like Arafat coming to the United States. Every time Arafat set foot on the United States, that very day there was a disaster, and things like that. So I wrote the books as a warning to America that God's word is literal, God's word is the final authority, and that we as a nation are on a collision course with him over our, there's no other word to put on it, Stan, but sin and rebellion against him.
Well, I agree with you totally, but I think that the average American doesn't understand that God does work in the affairs of men today, and God certainly punishes individuals in the afterlife, but he punishes nations in this life. And, of course, there's no instance in all history where a nation has turned against God, where God has not turned against that nation. And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. But we keep getting these warnings, and everybody ignores the warnings. That's what your book's all about.
Yes, it is, Stan. We've come to a point now in America where the country is so weak politically, morally, spiritually, that we can't protect full-term babies in the womb from being ripped out of the mother, the back of the skull smashed open, the brains being sucked out. That's a constitutional right under the Supreme Court. It's called partial birth abortion. We are so weak spiritually and politically that we can't stop the homosexual agenda. It's like a juggernaut now, spreading cancer for de facto, and soon it will be legitimate, quote, legitimate, homosexual marriage. It's in California. It's in Vermont. It's in Massachusetts. Now, I just see where Rhode Island is, Providence, Rhode Island, elected an open homosexual mayor. So we're doing everything in, that the scriptures talk about that God judges nations over, but we've so far from God that to a vast number of Americans, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with it. And if you, I probably sound like a tremendous radical weirdo, you know, but I'm anchored in God, and I'm not moving, but the people are moving away from God. I'm staying still, you're staying still, they're moving away from us, and they think that we are out on the fringe when they're way out in the ocean. So that's what I see, Stan. We have done everything according to scriptures to provoke the wrath of God. God has been extremely merciful in warning us through nature. Another thing, Stan, stock market crashes, they've all been around those three things. Again, it's like we've been indicted by God. And right now, in 2.5 years, our stock market has lost about $9 trillion. $9 trillion, Stan. And the high water mark of both the major indices, the Dow and the NASDAQ, were both, the Dow was on an abortion-related event, partial birth abortion in the Supreme Court, and the NASDAQ was on an Israel-related event on the pressure of the United States. Israel first offered a Palestinian state. That was March 10th, 2000. That was the high water mark of the NASDAQ. January 15th, 2000 was the high water mark of the Dow. And since then, we've plunged.
Well, of course, why don't you basically cover the prophecy that is in Isaiah 13? Because I think that's really so important today.
Well, Stan, you mentioned earlier about this war. And, you know, we're there. And I agree with you wholeheartedly about the, what's the word, the way we've gotten there. But we're there. And, I hear your music coming on.
Well, we're going to have to take a little quick break here now. And, of course, this is the time when I want to remind our listeners that we carry a number of products, and those who buy them, of course, are helping us do what we do, and that is be on the air 5 hours a day. One of the products, however, is something called Phonopoly. It is a board game that allows children to learn in about 16 hours how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically and pronounce phonetically. It's actually not one board game, but 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and a couple of extra books that we throw in. It's and most of these programs to teach you how to read phonetically. And this isn't just for children. This is for teenagers, and this is even for adults and old folks who've never learned phonetics and the standard rules of spelling in the English language. There's only 12 of them, but once you know them, why, everything is so much easier. And, of course, it's $139.95. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift for your children and your grandchildren with Christmas coming up. And then, of course, we carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, and this is really a wonderful program because on 22 discs you have the lessons, the lesson plans, you have the textbooks. All you need to do is buy the separate textbooks, the Saxon textbooks. Now, you have to print everything off on your computer for the children, but then they do it all on their own. The only thing you have to do is correct their essays that they are asked to write every day. And there are 50,000 of these out. We've put out an awful lot of them, and everybody seems to be so happy with them. There's a complete set of the 1911 British Encyclopedia there. Of course, there is the 1913 Noah Webster's Dictionary before they began rewriting the encyclopedia and the dictionary. It's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, and you can get that for $199.95. You can get the Phonopoly for $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because, of course, the finest gift you can give to a child is a good education. And the Robinson Homeschool Education System will give them a superior and biblically founded education. And, of course, Phonopoly will teach them the wonderful thing of being able to read and spell and pronounce things phonetically. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was this last weekend when some of our political leaders were talking about the fact that we may have to annihilate Iraq. Now, the threat was that if Saddam Hussein used any chemical or biological weapons, why, we would annihilate them. What we're talking about, I believe, is the use of nuclear weapons, and we'll simply incinerate the civilians and everybody else there. That's the threat. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose. What you don't understand is there was no need to drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because the Japanese had tried to surrender 5 times in the preceding 6 months. The invasion of Iwo Jima and Okinawa were unnecessary. Those all took place after the Japanese had offered to surrender, and we wouldn't accept it. How could that possibly, if that was true, wouldn't every American know it? If you like the clipping, it's not a very good clipping, but it comes from the Chicago Tribune. On the day that the peace with the Japanese was signed, we'll be glad to send it to you. Give us a call, 464-8295. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the clipping from the Chicago Tribune. Could anything be that evil? A million people died every month during the last 2 years of the Second World War. And time and time and time again, there was an opportunity to end the war. And time and time and time again, our leaders refused to end the war. And the carnage continued and continued and continued. And now they want to take us into a war with Iraq. And not just with Iraq, ladies and gentlemen, because I think we're going to a war with Iran and with Syria, and heaven only knows where else it's going to go. But I will tell you that the Muslims in the prisons today, men who've converted to the Muslims in our prisons, are told that when the chaos comes to America, the doors to their prisons will be opened. And we've talked to a couple of experts who deal with this subject right here in America. And the prisoners, the black prisoners, have promised those doors will be opened. What do you think they're talking about? Why do you think that they're planning on relocation camps here in America, that FEMA is spending $300 million for a plan that will, of course, allow them to set up relocation camps all over America? Now, the $300 million just for the plan, they're talking about billions of dollars. What do they know that you don't know? Well, maybe they know that God's judgment's coming on America. So let's talk about Isaiah 13 and the prophecy that is there that has never been fulfilled at any time in the past, but may well be coming to fulfillment at this time in history. John, tell that story.
Stan, when you look at the prophet Isaiah in chapter 13, he's prophesying against the land of Babylon. Now, Babylon is modern-day Iraq. Iraq, in fact, Iraq just became a nation, or named Iraq, I believe it was 1923, 1925, right around there, at the end of World War I, the British had gained control of that area, and they granted Iraq its independence, and that's what it was called. And prior to that, going back, even at the time of the Lord, and going back time immemorial, that was Babylon. That was ancient Babylon. And the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 13 says that in the end of time, it's a period known as the Day of the Lord, and that's the time period just before the second coming of Jesus Christ, that Babylon is going to be the target of complete, total annihilation by a country coming from the end of heaven. Now, the end of heaven, we all have a tendency to think of geography in the terms of where you live. However, when reading the Bible, the geographic center is the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. So when the Bible talks about a nation coming from the end of heaven, it's talking about as far away from Israel as can be. And the words that are used, it's in, weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. And if you read later on in the chapter, you'll see that the area is going to be turned into Sodom and Gomorrah, never to be inhabited again.
In other words, some terrible
yes.
thing is going to happen to
right.
Iraq. And, of course, then even the shepherds won't be there. There'll be nothing. Absolutely nothing. Has
no,
that ever happened?
Uninhabitable. That's what the Bible says. It will be uninhabitable.
Has that ever happened in the past?
No. No. The Babylonian Empire, they had a great king named Nebuchadnezzar. That's about 600 B.C., Babylon, the city of Babylon was one of the wonders of the world, and huge walls that were, I don't know, 80, 100 feet high and 50 feet wide, and it was virtually impregnable. And the old story is the Persians diverted the Euphrates River, which flowed through Babylon, and then they marched underneath the gates there that they had gates into the river. And the Babylonians were partying and drinking and drunk and all that. And the Persian army came in without even, in our modern-day language, fire a shot. And they took the city. And the city was in place. Of course, it had decayed in that, in the Lord's Day. And sometime around, I'm going to take a guess, but sometime around the year 300-400, I think the river changed its course. And Babylon then became just a desert, and the sands blew filled it over. So Babylon never was judged like the Bible said. The judgment in Isaiah 13, God has reserved judgment for what's called the day of the Lord, and that's the time period just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So, I mean, I'm looking out there, and I'm looking at a nation coming from the end of heaven. We certainly fit that. The Bible says weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Maybe that's God's way of describing atomic weapons. I don't know. But I do know that I've heard the Vice President, Cheney. I've heard Senator Graham. I believe he's from Florida. Both of them on talk shows about 2 Sundays ago said that if Saddam Hussein uses weapons of mass destruction against the United States or any of his neighbors, that we will use nuclear weapons against him and destroy Iraq. And it was, I mean, it stunned me when I heard it, because they were, in modern language, they were quoting like Isaiah chapter 13. So I believe, Stan, that in my heart of hearts, I believe that we are on the verge of the fulfillment of Isaiah 13. Now, Stan, if that is the case, what you said earlier in your monologue there will be true, because this war is going to start a domino effect, and literally a whole nations in the Middle East are going to be obliterated, and this war is going to make previous wars look like Boy Scout maneuvers. I mean, we're talking about overnight entire nations with 50, 60 million people gone.
And I think people have to understand wars never occur the way we imagine they do. If you haven't seen my video, what's little known about the origins of wars and revolutions, you need to understand how the First World War was planned long ahead of time. And we even quote from the people who were at some of the meetings when they were planning that. And then, of course, the Second World War. What most people don't understand is we financed Adolf Hitler. Our banks provided him the money. Our corporations provided him the products. And if any of you have any questions, I have a letter that was sent by Ambassador Dodd, the American ambassador to Germany in 1936, writing to Colonel Howe saying, why are American corporations building up the German war material and the German the war-making capacity? They can't get a profit out of the country. Their exchange controls. Do the people at home know that they're building up the German war-making material and there's no profit to be made? Why would they do something that stupid unintentionally. And of course, we know from many, many sources that even during the war, our banks were helping to finance the best enemy our own money could buy. And the war was prolonged and prolonged and prolonged, and more and more and more. And people died unnecessarily. And now we are moving towards a third world war. And where was the outcry from the American people? Why, most of them are clamoring for more blood glory. We've just got to go over there and take out that wicked Saddam Hussein. And yet, of course, in 1995, and we have a book, it's entitled See No Evil, and it's written by the former station chief CIA in the Middle East. In 1995, the Iraq military wanted to take out Saddam Hussein, and we wouldn't let them. Why do you think that was? Well, it wasn't time for this great war. If they'd taken out Saddam Hussein, how could we have had a war over there? And why did we leave him in power in 1991? Oh, we just didn't want to destabilize the area. What do you think we're going to do now? Why, we're going to destabilize the area. Everything is timed. Everything is planned. Planned by men, and, of course, I believe God has a very definite plan over and above the plans of these evil and wicked men who are planning to take us into war.
Well, Stan, I agree with you. How we got there, I can see what you're saying. But I believe it's like evil and wicked men crucified the Lord. A corrupt, evil Roman political system and a corrupt religious system got together and crucified the Lord of glory. But that was in God's plan. That was all in God's plan of salvation and redemption. And now I see we've got the same thing again. God is using the corrupt plans and schemes of man to fulfill his final prophecy before the second coming of the Lord.
All right, fine. We'll be right back here in just a moment with our special guest, John McTernan. And this is the time when I want to mention that you can get John's excellent, excellent books by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, it's Israel the Blessing, Israel or the Curse, and then, of course, God's Final Warning. They're great books to read and great books to get to other people, especially at this time. And then, of course, one of the things that you can do if you'd like to help us would be to change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. The reason we ask you, of course, is to do this is because we get 15% of whatever you make. The prices are very, very competitive. It's a Christian organization. I've known Bill Horn, who's been there with us for many, many years. The telephone number is 866-448-5631. That's 886-448-5631. And we hope you will change over. And I'll tell you, if you have any problems with the phone service, and we haven't had any, but if you ever need to call them, you get a real live human being. Just try to do that with AT&T or MCI. And then the other thing is, of course, we have our Miracle 2 soap products. And, of course, we hope many of you will want to use them. We like them. We've used them for a good while here in the Monteith household. And, of course, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap. And I do notice really how much softer the skin around my elbows and other places is after using that. There's a lotion. There's a gel. There's a neutralizer, which many, many people say seems to help them with heartburn. Now, we can't make any medical claims, but I can tell you we've had people call and tell that their rashes are so much better. I mean, people are so sort of excited about this. So if you'd like to try the products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's the Miracle 2 soap products. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WARP. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is John McTurn in his books of Why God's Final Warning and Israel the Blessing, Israel the Curse, or Israel the Blessing or the Curse. And right now we've got Richard calling from Miami. Richard, do you have a question on this subject?
I have a comment, Dr. Stan.
Okay.
Well, you know, you already know where I stand, where who Babylon is.
Okay, fine, but I don't want to get off on that discussion. Do you have something apropos to what we're talking about?
Well, you did mention Isaiah 13, and I just wanted to mention, yeah, I know it's a long topic, but anyways, sometimes God speaks figuratively. For example, in Isaiah 1:10...
No, but do you have anything about what we're talking about, Richard? I don't want to get off on that.
Well, Babylon, you mentioned Babylon.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, see, God sometimes speaks figuratively, and we are. I don't think we are to take Babylon literally, like the old Babylon. Yeah, this definitely is a future Babylon, and it will definitely be suddenly destroyed.
No, but remember, there are various things that he refers to as Babylon. Babylon, the economic center, or the ancient Babylon. There really was an ancient Babylon there. But I don't want to get off on that subject, because I know that you feel that maybe New York he's talking about, but that's not what he's talking about in Isaiah 13, believe me. Okay, because, of course, Isaiah 13 is really talking about the original Babylon, isn't it, John?
Yes, Stan. I think I kind of understand where the caller was going at.
Well, he believes, and Richard's a very nice person, he believes that the Babylon that they talk about in Revelations 18, I believe 17 and 18, you know, is the economic center of the world.
Well,
but that is not the Babylon that's being discussed in Isaiah. It's an entirely different Babylon.
Right. There's two Babylons in Scripture, and it's very important we make that distinction. There's the physical land of Babylon, and then there is the economic, religious Babylon, and you have to make the distinction between the two. Isaiah 13 is clearly talking about physical Babylon, and you just can't try and spiritualize it. You know, it's a physical territory that God is talking about destroying.
And yet, of course, when you get into Revelations 17 and 18, I think that's an entirely different Babylon.
Well, Jeremiah 50:51 there is also talking about spiritual Babylon, because it's talking about, it's referring to the daughters of Babylon. And we know that Babylon didn't have any physical descendants because it was destroyed, or it ended as an empire. So when it talks about daughters of Babylon, because the Scripture talks about the daughters of Zion. That means, you know, the descendants, the people of the Jews down through history. Well, when it talks about daughters of Babylon, obviously it's talking about them that are following the Babylonian religious and economic system.
Okay, fine. So, now when you're talking about the references in Isaiah, and of course you're talking about to this prophecy that something terrible is going to happen to this region of the world.
Yes, Stan, because when you look at it, and the key reference there is the day of the Lord, which, again, is the time period just prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. It also talks about Jordan, which in the Bible is identified as Moab and Ammon, as being turned into Sodom and Gomorrah. It talks about Syria, the kingdom being taken away from Syria, Damascus being utterly, totally destroyed, and the nation obliterated. Now, not destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah, but defeated in battle. It talks about Egypt being turned into uninhabitable, where the Nile River, something dreadful is going to happen to the Nile River, and the Egyptians are going to flee into all the world.
Well, of course, you know, the Israelis have said that if Egypt ever tries to attack them, that they will simply put a nuclear bomb into the Aswan Dam, and there will be all of Egypt will be under about 30 feet of water.
Well, Stan, it's quite possible that that may happen, because Ezekiel chapter 29 and Isaiah chapter 19 talk about that, about the destruction of Egypt. So we're talking about what I believe, staring us eyeball to eyeball, is the scenario that the scriptures talk about to the road to Armageddon.
Well, why are our leaders so intent upon taking us into a war with Iraq? If these articles that appeared in the Sunday Herald Tribune talking about this plan was made years ago by Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and these others, taking us into this war. Some people say, well, it's all about oil. Others say, well, it's really about a military power and American dominance in the world. Others say this is all about creating a new world order, a one world government and a new world religion. What are your thoughts, or is it all of the above?
Stan, I was just going to say it sounds like all of the above. We know from scriptures that there is going to be, now the terminology that we use today is the new world order. We know that that's going to be in place at the day of the Lord, before the Jesus' second coming, because the Bible tells us there's going to be a one-world economic system. Isaiah 18, there's going to be a one-world religious system. Revelation 18, Revelation 17, we have the one-world religious system. And you go, just off the top of my head, you go to Revelation 13, and we have a one-world political, economic system shown there also in Revelation 13. So there has to be a system in place, and I believe that's what we're seeing now. It's starting to come together right before our eyes. We've got the United Nations, and then we have the European Union, and we have the G8 economic, we have NATO, we have NAFTA and the United States, we have the World Court that just was kicked in, what was it, July of this year, the World Court became a reality.
Well, I think, there's so many things. Right now, of course, if we go to war with Iraq, we are going to antagonize every Muslim in the world, because they're going to look upon this as a war against Muslims, no matter what our leaders say. What happens when they refuse to use the American dollar? What happens if they demand to have their products for, their oil paid for, in euros? What is the expense of this going to be? What happens if other nations will no longer lend us money? Because, of course, we're living on borrowed money. America is the greatest debtor nation in the world today. And, of course, when you're a debtor nation and you can't pay your debts, you're in real trouble. And, of course, I think people have no idea of the financial implications, of the military implications, the spiritual implications of what's going on today, and certainly as far as the possibility of civil unrest in this country as a result of this war.
Well, Stan, again, looking at scriptures, looking at the hour that we live in, I see this war has the huge potential, what you just talked about, of destabilizing the whole world. And again, it will bring the end time scenario that scripture talks about. It definitely, we are looking at the very possibility of everything you're talking about coming in place. But I believe, Stan, that this may be a two-edged sword. Well, that's basically what you were saying. But when I look at scriptures and I see what's going to happen to nations there, it's judgment, immediate judgment on the Islamic nations that are right surrounding Israel, and I believe it's going to destabilize us at the same time. So it's going to be a two-edged sword. We very well could suffer judgment for the things that we've done, the amount of babies we've killed, marrying homosexuals, sticking our nose in God's prophetic affairs with Israel in the Middle East. And so this may be a two-edged sword judgment where a righteous God judges us for the things that we've been talking about, and at the same time, the judgment begins on Islam for what they have done to God's people for all these years now.
And, of course, the thing is, the most Americans say, well, this could never happen. Or if it does happen, I'm a Christian, I'm going to be whisked out on the first cloud when the rapture comes. And I'm not here to debate pre-trib or mid-trib. I'm just simply saying, where in the Bible does it say that you'll be whisked away and raptured before America is destroyed? Maybe America will be destroyed 6 months, or maybe the rapture will come six weeks or 6 months or 6 years or 10 years, 20 years after this country is destroyed. Then, of course, who is responsible for it being destroyed? Why, the good people who did nothing, because all that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good people do nothing.
Well, Stan, I've been trying to get good people to do something for about 10 years now. I've spoke throughout the country and the books, and I don't know, there's like a little more optimistic than I am, than I was a couple of years ago. For most part, there is a dullness over God's people.
I believe that there's a spiritual blindness. I believe that it's been brought about by the church. If you read the writings of the Luciferians, and we had Gary Caw on earlier this week, and he was simply quoting from Alice Bailey, who died in the early 50s, and she was a Luciferian, the wife of Foster Bailey, and of course a disciple of Madame Blavatsky. And she said, you know, that the new world order, this Luciferian order that they believe in, would be brought about, and she named, of course, the through government institutions and our education, but by the church, because the church has blinded the people of this country. When was the last time you ever heard a minister speak out against Masonry? They won't do it. They absolutely refuse to, even though this is a Luciferian organization. When did they last speak out about Theosophy or Rosicrucianism? Oh, we wouldn't want to offend anybody. I mean, we have so many people who are so fearful of offending somebody with no fear at all of God. And that's why we're in trouble.
Well, you're right, Stan. You're right. I mean, we're to fear him who can destroy the body and soul in hell. And we are, the church should be with the salt and the light, and we should be the watchman on the wall yelling what's coming. And if people don't respond, well, that's their problem. But they should be hearing what's coming down the pike right now. It's coming like an express train at night with a big light on the front down the track. I mean, it's roaring at us right now.
And, of course, it's there's only a one track, and there's no way off of it. Our telephone number, 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And remember, in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, we're called to be watchmen. If you're out there in the listening audience, are you a watchman? Would you like to join those of us who are watchmen trying to get people to understand what lies ahead as we move seemingly without any possibility of getting off this towards a conflict in the Middle East? And I don't think it's going to be an easy conflict, and I think it's the implications of this are going to be devastating. I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but everything would suggest that this is what has been planned for a long, long, long time. And, of course, the excuse for it was what happened on September 11th. But, of course, that was the only way you'd get the American people to go along, and first of all with the war of Afghanistan, and next with the war in the Middle East. Well, of course, John, you've been on the front line for a long period of time trying to warn people, and do you think we're making any progress?
Stan, I think a foundation has been laid, and when things break bad and it's been destabilized, I think a lot of people are going to see that we told them the truth, and they're going to turn to the Lord. That's what I hope, Stan. It's just that until the crisis comes, people seem to lack the ability to respond.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and when we get back, we'll invite your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But right now, of course, I want to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will decide right now that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we do what we do, 5 hours a day, and then our programs on the weekend, and gradually picking up stations here, there, or elsewhere, so we can get the truth out that people are not getting through the regular controlled media. And believe me, the media is controlled by the people affiliated with the Council on Foreign Relations and the Skull and Bones and of course, all of these various organizations that have their origin in the occult, and their goal is to keep the people in the dark until, of course, it's too late. Now, if you, for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes in the month, or you'll get our monthly newsletter as well. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. We hope that if you do not yet take our newsletter, you could subscribe. If you'd like a free copy and you haven't had one before, ask for the August letter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the August newsletter, and it'll tell you what really happened at Oklahoma City and how the government had to conceal the Islamic terrorist involvement, because if we'd known back then why the people would have demanded we did something about the Islamic terrorists, and we couldn't have given them all that rope that they used, of course, to bomb the and attack the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. There would have been a demand we do something if they had known that the Islamic terrorists were involved there. So this letter is written by a man who is working with the FBI on the investigation. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the August newsletter.
A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is John McTernan. His books, and they really are something that you should read, and that is God's Final Warning. And, of course, here he correlates the terrible events and terrible natural tragedies which have occurred with, of course, America's involvement in allowing the gay march, Great Pride March, or the Supreme Court decisions on abortion, or really the coincidence. You just can't explain all of these things on the basis of coincidence. And then, of course, what's happening as far as Israel is concerned. And every time we turn our back on Israel, why, God gives us another warning. And we force Israel into a totally indefensible position, all in the name of helping. And we hear all these people saying, oh, Israel runs our foreign policy. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been to Israel. We put them into a position where there's nowhere they're going to be able to defend themselves, today. At times, the West Bank actually comes, I think, about 8 miles from the Mediterranean. We've destroyed any defensible border that we had, and now within their midst is this great seething mass of people who would destroy Israel, the Palestinians. And if you're a Palestinian over there and you want to live in peace with the Israelis, they'll kill you. I mean, the fanaticism there, the suicide bombers, this attitude that you will certainly you'll be able to go to paradise immediately if you die for Allah. And that's the only way you can be sure of getting into heaven. Otherwise, why, of course, you never know where you're going to get to paradise or not. And the Muslim fears going to hell. He really fears that. That's drilled into him. But the way you know you're going to get there is to die in jihad, killing the infidels. That's, ladies and gentlemen, that's you and me. This is in a logic mindset, and yet it is a very real mindset we face today. Well, John, what can the average person out there listening to this audience who's concerned about what's happening really do about the unfolding of events?
Stan, this is beyond anyone's control now. I think it's got a life of its own. It's written in stone. It's set. I think you've got that feeling from the information that you received too, that this can't be turned. We're going to war. And the only way that we can be prepared, I think, is spiritually, to be have our eyes focused on the Lord, to be completely committed to Him, to be waiting for His second coming. Just like you said before, we don't know when He's coming, but we're to have our heart anchored with Him. And the first thing we have to do is be spiritually anchored in the Lord, not playing spiritual games anymore, but serious with God and His Word. That's the first thing we have to do.
amen to that. And I certainly think that, yes, I think people should write to their senators and write to their congressmen, but I'm not sure it's going to do a bit of good. I think that the powerful, powerful forces in Washington, D.C. are unconcerned about what the American people want. They've been waiting too long to get to where we are today. And you can go back and read what H.G. Wells wrote in 1933 about, of course, how the Second World War would come about in 1940 because of an incident between Poland and Germany, but how the third Triad World Order would come about 1988 with a conference that would be held in Basra, which, of course, is in Iraq. Well, I think maybe he was a little off on his time. Others, like Bill Snevelin, who was a deeply involved in Satanism, told me that he was actually told that, of course, it would be in the year 2003 that this next great world war would come about. But, of course, it would not simply be localized in the Middle East. It would be involved with biological attacks in America, and it would appear that our leaders realize that, too. All you'd hear about, of course, is how they're getting the smallpox vaccine all ready for us, so that within 5 days, everybody in America can be forcibly vaccinated. Well, of course, there are frightening things to look at, because if you look at what happened, say, to the homosexuals who took the vaccine, they volunteered to take a vaccine in 1978 in San Francisco, and 80% of them came down with AIDS. It was a hepatitis vaccine. Why would 80% of them come down with AIDS? What was in that vaccine? Well, there are lots of things going to happen right now, and you better get all this information and prepare yourself and your family for difficult times. And I certainly agree with you. I think that the only thing that's going to see us through after we've made all the preparations and done everything we should do, is to look to the Lord for help. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have something to say, you agree, you disagree, maybe you think we ought to go to war over there. Maybe we just ought to, we need a good war right now. I don't think there is such a thing as a good war. The more I study them, the more I'm convinced that they come right out of the pit of hell, and they are never fought for the reasons that the men who are asked to fight them are led to realize.
Stan, during the break, I went to the Internet, and I was called up the news here, and here's a lead article from Newsmax. It says one of the leading biological weapons experts in the world says warns of worldwide smallpox catastrophe. And I'll just read the headline to you. One of the world's leading authorities on biological weapons, Dr. Ken Alibek, a former head of the Soviet biowarfare, warns that a smallpox release by Iraq could cause a global calamity of biblical proportions. He has very little doubt that Saddam Hussein is. He has very little doubt that Saddam Hussein is ready to unleash the lethal virus. So,
Kenneth Alibek has worked for my understanding, he works for the CIA organization. If you've read his book Biohazard, he left Russia not because he was anti-communist, but because there was no longer this ruthless communist regime that he had served and served so well. And now, of course, if my information is right, he works for the CIA. I personally talked to him, and he wouldn't come onto the program, but I've talked to him. And I, you know, if he's saying this, I think that the people within the Central Intelligence Agency, the same agency, one of the major drug smugglers in the world, the same agency involved in the murder of the American president, and there's no way it could have happened without their help. And of course, anybody who has any question, we have a book based upon the papers of the former director, assistant director of covert operations, Mr. Robert Crowley, telling how the CIA killed President Kennedy. It's called Redecide, very difficult to get, but Redecide, we certainly recommend it to you. And, of course, now, of course, they are telling us there's going to be an anthrax attack, and they're probably right. But the only question, pardon me, smallpox attack, but they're probably right, but the anthrax attack came from our own laboratories. Will the smallpox attack come from American military laboratories as well?
Well, Stan, from what I understand, Saddam Hussein's biological weapons, his whole program comes from, well, not the whole program, but most of it from the United States, Britain, and like Germany.
Well, of course, predominantly the United States. That's covering the book we have called Against All Enemies. In fact, we have the world's leading last supply of them, Against All Enemies by Seymour Hirsch. It's an inexpensive book available from our ministry at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And the book's out of print. I think we still have a few copies. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to understand who supplied the wicked Saddam Hussein with his chemical and biological weapons. So things are never as they appear to be, and I fear for thy, tremble for my country, and when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. Well, I think you've done a great job, John, in getting these books out and getting them written, and of course, pointing out the relationship between, man's flaunting God and God's response. So would you like to just, in the remaining time we have, just give a few examples?
Well, Stan, gee, there's so many. One of the greatest earthquakes last century, as far as power, was the Landers quake just outside of Los Angeles in the desert. That was on the very morning of Gay Pride Day. It shook the entire western section of the United States. To this day, scientists are in awe of the Landers quake and what it did. Now, it didn't do great destruction because it was in the desert. However, it triggered about a dozen to 20 earthquakes all over the western section of the United States, as far away as Wyoming, which absolutely has the scientists baffled how this could happen. The Loma Prieta quake up by you there. You're in the San Francisco area, right, Stan?
Well, I'm in Santa Cruz. Loma Prieta, I can see from my backyard.
Okay. Well, that quake occurred just after the largest pro-abortion rally in the history of California in San Francisco. And, of course, you remember the earthquake, and then it occurred right during the World Series game. And the list of the earthquakes with that goes on and on and on. We have the hurricanes smashing in on the very day of Supreme Court decisions, Arafat coming to the United States, and the list goes on and on and on, Stan. I must have, if you combine abortion, homosexuality, and Israel, as we push Israel, there must be 100 examples, the greatest disasters in the United States. Hurricane Andrew hit on the very day the Madrid peace process met on American soil for the first time. That was the greatest natural disaster in the history of the United States.
Well, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And order a copy of God's Final Warning. I think you'll be shocked at what you read. And then get them for your friends and your family. And let them understand that America's in real, real, real trouble today. And then, of course, Israel, the blessing, or the curse. Israel, the blessing or the curse. And, of course, John, I want to thank you so very, very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you here on Radio Liberty.
Do I have a second to give my website?
Sure, go ahead, right ahead.
Okay, it's www.branchofdavid.org.
That's www.branchofdavid.org. Thank you so much, John.
Okay, Stan, thank you very much.
Good night, God bless you. Okay, fine. That was John McTernan, and hope you enjoyed him. And, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers, because they should be leading the spiritual battle. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Bye.
Thanks so very much. Love, you're doing a little ministry now, huh?